Chapter 8. The Bird on Its Journey. They had arrived at the hotel, and Oswald Everard saw no more of his companion until dinner. She hurried over her food and went into the salon. She closed the door and sat down at the piano without touching the keys. Once or twice she raised her hands. She let them rest on the notes. Without realizing, her hands began to move and make sweet music. And then they drifted into Schumann's songs. Her touch and feeling were so fine that they betrayed the true musician. The music reached the dining room. One by one, the guests came in to see the musician. The girl did not look up. She was in a Schumann mood that evening. Those who listened to her were held by the magic that was her own secret. She understood Schumann's music and was at her best with him. Had she chosen to play his music this evening because she wished to be at her best? Or was she merely moved by an overwhelming force within her? Perhaps it was something of both. Was she wishing to humiliate these people who had treated her so coldly? This young woman was only human. Who can tell? But she played as she had never played in London, Paris, Berlin, New York, or Philadelphia. At last she arrived at one of Schumann's most difficult works, The Carnival. Those who heard her later declared that they had never listened to a more excellent version. When the last notes of that had died away, she glanced at Oswald Everard. He was standing near her, almost dazed. "And now my favorite piece of all," she said. And at once, she began the second novelette. It was the finest of the 8 novelettes Schumann had written, but was rarely played for an audience. What can one say of the highest music except that, like death, it makes us all equal? It gathers us all to its tender keeping, and we rest. The young woman stopped playing. There was not a sound to be heard. The magic was still holding her listeners. When they were finally released, they pressed forward to greet her. "There is only one person who can play like that," cried the major with sudden inspiration. "She is Miss Thyra Flowerdew." The girl smiled. "That is my name," she said simply. Then she slipped out of the room. Early the next morning, the bird of passage took her flight forward. But she was not destined to leave in secret. Oswald Everard saw the young woman swinging along the road, and he overtook her. "You little wild bird," he said. "And so this was your great idea, to have your fun out of us all, and then play for us and make us feel, I don't know how, and then to go." "You said the company wanted to be moved by fun," she answered, "and I have moved them." "What do you think you have done for me?" he asked. "I hope I have proved to you that the tuner and the pianist are sometimes identical," she answered. But he shook his head. "Little wild bird, you have given me a great idea," he said, "and I will tell you what it is, to tame you. So goodbye for now." "Goodbye," she said, "but wild birds are not so easily tamed." Then she waved her hand over her head and went on her way singing.